This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to LGBTQ News and Culture. Featuring articles from leading LGBTQ publications, this program offers you a comprehensive look at the issues facing the LGBTQ community and its allies. Available only on the audio reading service, it's LGBTQ News and Culture, coming up next.
Welcome. This is LGBTQ News and Culture, and I'm your reader, Jason, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from the November-December issue of The Advocate, copyright 2025 Equal Pride, starting with Art Culture Kiki. Colby King seeks to teach queer youth of color about the financial possibilities of their culture and art, by Ryan Adamczewski. In New York City, the Kiki scene is more than culture. It's an investment. Colby King, a graduate of Columbia University, is one of this year's recipients of the David Prize, a $200,000, no-strings-attached grant. The funds will be used to financially support queer youth of color through the Kiki Arts Collaborative, which aims to connect these youth to economic opportunity. Being a Black LGBT person, there often weren't many spaces that I felt seen or accepted, King says. I'm from Texas. Coming from a much more restricted state, and then being at Columbia, obviously I wasn't necessarily represented there either. So coming into the Kiki scene has just given me a way to be around people that are actually like me. In addition to art exhibitions, shows, and performances, King says the funds will be put toward a 9-month residency for one established artist in the Kiki scene, a ballroom subculture led by young LGBTQ+ people of color, as well as a 6-month creative career development fellowship for 4 emerging artists. The programs seek to make sure that they have the skills necessary to take their talent and actually apply it to wider audiences, King says. The goal is to use these different programs to advance the careers of artists in the Kiki scene and to think about how they can take the talents that they've cultivated within the scene and apply them to their career fields outside, King says. The David Prize is an annual grant given to 5 individuals across the 5 New York City boroughs, with submissions open to any resident during the fall. It aims to provide mental and financial bandwidth to those with conviction to change the future of our city, according to its site. While King says he's really grateful to be a winner, he's also not a person that necessarily likes the spotlight. He emphasizes that this grant isn't about him, but building up his community and highlighting the scene at large by using whatever visibility that comes with it. While I am the person that won this prize, there's a lot of people that are already doing pretty good work to support LGBT youth, particularly in the Kiki scene, he says. I'm going to be adding to a wide network of people that are already doing good work and wanting to uplift the scene as a whole. Queer media crisis? Local LGBTQ+ media is in danger, but all is not lost. By Desiree Guerrero. 18 states in the U.S. have no known original LGBTQ+ news outlet, according to the LGBTQ+ Media Mapping Project, an in-depth analysis of the state of local queer news outlets. There are many places in the U.S. with little or no LGBT+ original local reporting, says Tracy Baim, director of the LGBTQ+ Media Mapping Project, and co-founder of the Chicago-based Windy City Times newspaper. As the political backlash grows, these gaps become even more important to try to fill with some creative supports. That could be partnering with local LGBTQ plus community centers, community colleges and universities, or even mainstream media willing to do coverage of their local LGBTQ plus communities. Created in partnership with News Is Out, the MacArthur Foundation, Local Media Foundation, and the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at City University of New York, the mapping project provides one of the first looks into the local queer media landscape. BAME spearheaded the project alongside Hannah Siamazko, who led research. "We started this survey right before this new presidential administration took over," BAME explains. "The backlash against DEI had already started 2 years ago. It has just been turbocharged in 2025. Corporate pullback on diversity marketing has absolutely hurt both local and national LGBTQ plus media. Additionally, there are real fears about targeting of LGBTQ plus media, both individuals and companies." The project's findings were released in September and underscore both the challenges and resilience of queer media and call for greater investment to ensure these essential voices continue to serve their communities, as stated on News Is Out's website. Through carefully compiled data, surveys, and interviews, a detailed downloadable report was created as well as an interactive map. "Financial stability is the top struggle for a vast majority of outlets responding to the survey," says BAME. "They don't have enough staff to cover the stories that need covering, or staff to help them pivot into new revenue streams. LGBTQ plus marketing dollars have shrunk, and this hurts the community overall, and media especially." Despite the growing challenges, BAME explains that there are real-world solutions and creative ways to ensure queer voices continue to be heard. "While a lot of it involves the need for more funding and coming together to find ways to get more philanthropy dollars into LGBTQ plus media, it is also about helping local and national media diversify their revenues, build better tech stacks where needed, and especially build the muscle to ask for small donors," she says. "That will make them less vulnerable to swings in national political tides." World's Eye View, the UN's Graham Reed on how oppression of LGBTQ plus people goes hand in hand with authoritarianism in general, by Trudy Ring. LGBTQ plus rights aren't just for LGBTQ plus people. When governments oppress the queer community, it's usually part of a broader move towards authoritarianism, says Graham Reed, the independent expert on sexual orientation and gender identity at the United Nations Human Rights Council. "It's about a bigger political project. Attacks on human rights writ large," Reed says. "This is what happened in Russia, Hungary, and yes, even the United States to some extent," he says. Reed, who is gay, has held his post at the UN since 2023. His term runs until 2026 and may be renewed until 2029. Before joining the UN, he was director of the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Rights Program at Human Rights Watch. A native of South Africa, he has also taught at Yale and Columbia. "I've shifted between academia and advocacy," he says. His job includes giving annual reports to the Human Rights Council and the UN General Assembly on specific issues affecting LGBTQ plus people worldwide, and visiting countries to assess the state of LGBTQ plus rights there. He has to apply to be invited to each country, and at the end of each trip, he produces a report on what the country is doing right and where it needs to improve. During his term, he's traveled to Albania, Poland, and Colombia, meeting with government officials and activist groups. "I was particularly interested in Albania for several reasons," Reed says. "It's a candidate for membership in the European Union and is working to bring its policies in line with EU standards, including legal protections for LGBTQ+ citizens. Albania is a majority Muslim country, but as a member of the Organization of Islamic States, it's often the dissenting voice in support of LGBTQ plus rights. Poland, he says, is making progress under a new coalition government after years of control by a far-right party, while Colombia has good laws but needs to implement them better. His visit next will be to Mongolia, Mexico, South Korea, and Romania have invited him as well. While Reed sees progress in certain countries, my talks are not very optimistic at the moment, he says. He's alarmed by the authoritarian moves in Hungary under Prime Minister Viktor Orban and the U.S. under President Donald Trump. Attacks on LGBT people coincide with other authoritarian impulses, he says. I see these two things going hand in hand. These attacks are often couched in language about protecting children, families, and so-called traditional values, he notes, citing Russia's gay propaganda law, enacted in 2013 and since expanded. And there are sometimes international consequences. One of the reasons Russian President Vladimir Putin gave for his country's invasion of Ukraine was that he considered Ukraine a threat to traditional values, Reed says. He tries to balance his concern about current anti-LGBTQ plus moves with an acknowledgement of the progress that has happened. In the past 25 years, 40 countries have decriminalized same-sex relations, and 34 now have equal marriage rights, he notes. He's especially encouraged by the recent decriminalization of same-sex relations in several Caribbean nations. LGBTQ plus rights organizations in the region took the lead in pushing for decriminalization, but also worked with international groups. A good example of coordination and cooperation, he says. For successful LGBTQ plus rights advocacy, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach, Reed says. It has to be country-specific. He's also pleased that the Human Rights Council this summer voted to renew the mandate to monitor LGBTQ plus issues, separate from his employment as an independent expert, by a 29-15 margin, with some unexpected votes in favor from countries including Romania, Bulgaria, Georgia, and Kenya. This is a source of optimism, he says. Concerns remain, of course. The U.S. has a long history of playing a very important role of supporting human rights groups around the world, Reed says. But with cuts to foreign aid and hostile domestic policies, it's moving away from that role. He again stresses that all human rights and freedoms are related. It's important not to see these attacks as specifically a minority rights issue. It's part of a broader strategy toward a more authoritarian end, and vigilance is crucial. Nothing can be taken for granted, he concludes. Combat Boots and the Closet. Netflix's show Boots dives into a closeted Marine cadet's journey of discovery, brotherhood, and military service by Alex Cooper. The call came 2 days before the new Netflix series Boots started production. Miles Heiser had landed the lead role of Cameron Cope, a closeted gay teen who in 1990 impulsively joins the Marines and heads to boot camp. The actor had 2 days to get to New Orleans for the production. As a number one on the call sheet, Heiser couldn't be late to start this journey with a group of other young men in what would become 2 years of physically challenging boot camp training, during summers and camaraderie. But first he had to figure out how to get to Louisiana with his two dogs. Since he couldn't fly solo with both pups, as flight rules allow only one dog per person, the Boots team paired Heiser with someone he'd come to know well, screenwriter, author, and former Marine Sergeant Greg Cope White. Met Heiser at Los Angeles International Airport to help chaperone his dogs to this new adventure in the Deep South. The 31-year-old gay actor and former star of Parenthood and 13 Reasons Why had only ever interacted with the show's producers and staff via Zoom, and meeting White felt daunting. After all, White wasn't just another part of the show's team. His memoir, The Pink Marine, is the inspiration behind Boots, and his life in the military shaped the character Cameron, whom Heiser plays. "I was so nervous. I've never played a real person," Heiser says. "There's the fear that they're going to see you and not connect with you. Greg told me up front, I want this to be Cameron's story, not Greg's story." The final series produced by the late Norman Lear, Boots tells the tale of Cameron, who knows deep down that he's gay and attempts to find his potential in the Marines alongside his straight best friend, Ray McAfee, Liam O. For Ray, joining the Marines is a chance to prove himself to his strict father. For Cameron, it's a way to escape a messy home and his narcissistic mother, played flawlessly by Vera Farmiga. The Marine Corps offers him the chance to change, even if that means remaining closeted in the times before Don't Ask, Don't Tell. As recently as 1990, being queer in the military was illegal. Upon entering the base for boot camp, Cameron clocks a sign that reads, "No homosexuals." The show's premiere in early October had been a long time coming. White's book was published in 2015, and he knew he wanted to bring it to the screen. He reached out to someone he'd long admired and knew, legendary producer Lear, The Jeffersons, All in the Family, and One Day at a Time. Just as the pandemic hit in 2020, Boots creator and co-showrunner Andy Parker received the book and came on board. A producer of the Tales of the City reboot 2019, Parker envisioned the show in the vein of Stanley Kubrick's Vietnam War classic Full Metal Jacket meets gay humorist David Sedaris. "I had been a closeted teenager in a very conservative household and had thought very hard about joining the Marines myself," Parker says. "When I got a hold of Greg's book, it was like the road not taken. I knew I could connect to all of the themes of why, for a closeted kid, going into the Marines would feel like a way to prove yourself." Sony greenlit the project 3 years later, and production began in 2024 after the writer's strike. While the show is set more than 30 years in the past, the issues of military service, identity, and who is considered American have never been more relevant. The question we wanted to dramatize was, who gets to belong? Who gets to be American? Parker says. Norman Lear built his whole career on expanding the American story. I see this show as a continuation of that, a plea for empathy, inclusion, and belonging. The Marines offered White a change from a challenging adolescence and finding a sense of community he craved. "I couldn't keep living my life like I was living. Bullied, weak, tired, no self-confidence. No one had ever told me that I was on the right track or that I was doing well," White says. "I didn't have those teachers that lifted you up because I went to 13 schools in 11 years. In 10th grade, I was in 3 different schools. I didn't ever have that foundation. Not from my community and not from the world. Instead, they were telling me that I was wrong. A desire to belong and the secrets people keep and changes they make to fit in are at the core of Boots. Issues of race, class, and gender also permeate the show. Throughout the series, Cameron's alter ego, a confident gay man, appears to him, challenging his decision to enlist and urging the young Marine to be his authentic self. Cameron is discovering he's capable of things he would have never tried because he was so scared of people knowing this thing, that he's gay, about him, Heiser says. Everyone has something they don't want people to know because they're afraid of how they'll be perceived. At the end of the day, when we connect as people, we form bonds we never expected. Heiser adds that he relates to how Cameron is navigating his sexuality because of his coming out experience when he was 19 and starring in Parenthood. I think that's something that a lot of queer people go through. I certainly did growing up, where it was like I had this secret that no one knew, even my closest friends, he says. And of course, once I finally came out to them, they could not have possibly cared less. On set, the Boots cast developed deep friendships. By the end of filming, we had known each other for almost 2 years, Heiser says. I think we ended up having a very similar experience to the characters in the show. That bond brought the stars and creators together for a special panel at the Association of LGBTQ+ Journalists annual conference in September, where Heiser, Parker, and White were in attendance, along with out actors Angus O'Brien, who plays the comical and disturbing character Hicks. Several cast members drove to Atlanta to support them. A brotherhood is something Heiser has not previously experienced. My first male friends were on this show, he explains. I only had female friends growing up. I was nervous around boys because I was scared they'd see I was gay. I realized we all want the same things: to be happy, laugh at stupid videos, and connect. There's a saying that we have in the Marines, White says. When we march, it's 70 boots hitting the ground at one time, but one heartbeat. I told that to the boys in the series. They got it, they felt it. The military of the 1990s was exclusionary and dangerous for queer people. To be exposed as LGBTQ+ could mean expulsion or even court-martial. In Boots, Cameron's hard-ass drill instructor, Sergeant Sullivan, gay former Emmerdale star Max Parker, is investigated for being gay, and his lover is arrested. The story is as prescient as ever, as the Trump administration has again banned transgender service members. We thought we were making a document about history. We didn't know it would feel so resonant, so relevant, says Heiser. To tell someone they can't serve because of something that has no effect on anyone is completely absurd. To tell someone they can't potentially sacrifice their life because they're trans is just evil. Those who refuse to let trans people serve are cowards, White asserts. I'm not interested in politicians and billionaires in the 1% who are too cowardly to serve, to judge those that are willing to risk their lives to defend our Constitution, he says. When someone decides to make that ultimate sacrifice and make that commitment, they deserve our respect, our honor, and our belief in their ability to do their job. There's hope that the show can spark conversations about these and other policies affecting LGBTQ+ people, says Parker. We can show what it does to people, the human consequences, and hope that shared humanity resonates, maybe even changes hearts and minds. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Jason with LGBTQ News and Culture. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.